stop number two on the road to Indy for USAC Championship cars. You'll see 22 of the fastest running in the Phoenix 150 on ABC's Wide World of Sports. The question right now that grips the crowd is whether or not Mario Andretti in car number 9 will be able to answer the call to start engine, his car. Sitting now behind the pit wall, the engine having been changed since practice, the frantic work continues. If they are able to fire the engine, they will have met the commitment of the order to start the engine. If they are not able to do it, then car number 22, driven by Todd Gibson out of Ridgewood, Ohio, will join the field. He is the first alternate among the qualifiers. Now to crank them up, here is a veteran from sprint car racing, believe it or not, the distinguished actor Gene Hackman. Now, let's find out about Andretti with Chris Economaki.
Mario, it looks like you missed it. What are you thinking about now?
So car number 22, Todd Gibson, then will roll at the back of the pack, and everybody behind that qualifying position that has been earned by Mario Andretti inside on the third row, everybody behind him then will move up. That means that A.J. Foyt will move over to the inside position. But the front of the field is very fast. It's a who's who in USAC racing today, for sure. 11 Indianapolis victors claimed by the six men up front. And, of course, the man who is one of the most dramatic personalities of them all will be A.J. Foyt, who right now is making his 251st start. Gordon Johnstock, the 76th USAC champion, and Johnny Rutherford starts on the pole here in this race today. Al Unser, who's won four times here. His brother, Bobby Unser, has had enormous success on this racetrack. And, of course, Mario Andretti. His engine was pulled after practice. They were not able to get everything in order in time for him to answer the call, start your engine. So far, they're all clean through turns one and two. There's a little bit of a dog leg, a little straight coming out of two. Now they run it down that back straight and into turn number three. And it's Gordon Johnstock and Johnny Rutherford up in the back. A.J. Foyt ducked into the number four position. Wally Dollenbach driving another one of the Swift George McNulty cars. Tucked in behind Bobby Hunter running in the number six position right now. And as they begin to swing out, they make it through lap number one with no trouble. Keith Jackson along with Jackie Stewart and Chris Economaki on ABC Wide World of Sports.
And Tom Smith is down by A.J. Foyt. A.J. Foyt goes right the outside of Tom Smith there as the leader comes through. Gordon Johnstock, who's always a strong starter. Keith, a man who always gets off well. He closely followed by, of course, the Indy winner. Rutherford there closing in there, but there's a tight pack for that fourth,
fifth position. So it is Gordon Johnstock, it is Johnny Rutherford. They've kind of run off by themselves for the moment with A.J. Foyt sitting in the number three position. Tom Seaver is running four. Wally Dollenbach moves up. Now here comes another move as we come down into turn number three. The blue car coming up behind Tom Seaver, not able to really make much of a move there. It is Bobby Unser, who has slipped in there as well. So Bobby Unser, who's had a great deal of success on this racetrack, is also very much in the picture right here.
It is a very tight group here back there, but it's out in front. Gordon Johnstock really has a very useful lead. Remember, it's only a one-mile racetrack. If you take an advantage of this kind this early, it's quite remarkable. Johnny Rutherford's a man who's not going to let him get away very far. And A.J. Foyt has gone through some of that traffic. He didn't have the best starting position in the whole field. And A.J., of course, one of the greatest racers in the business, is never going to let them get too far ahead.
Running right up in there behind A.J. Foyt is Bobby Unser in the number four position. Then you have Tom Seaver, then you have Wally Dollenbach, then you have Roger McCluskey sitting in there snug as well. And the field now begins to bring out just a little bit more.
Very difficult racetrack to follow this as far as the race driver is concerned. It's so short from the enormous turn. There's been a spin out in turn three. It looks to me in the distance here, and it's Bill Simpson. I can't see the car clearly in this time. The driver is all right. The rear end of the car's damaged there, but he's jumping out of the race car. It seems to be okay.
Looks like red 39. That would be Bill Simpson on the rail in between turn three and four. That brings out the safety equipment. The yellow lights are turned on and the base is closed. That means they'll all kind of close in on each other. As you can see, the red car there in front, Gordon Johncott coming around as they set up their parade now until the green is red again and the track has been swept clean. A.J. Ford is third, Bobby Unser four, Tom Steva five, Wally Dollenbach six, Al Unser is running seventh, and Roger McCluskey running in the number eight position. You're watching on ABC, Wide World of Sports.
How are you used to these, Mario? Last week, the car, and I see you already starting to change your clothes. How do these disappointments strike you?
Well, I think it's beyond description, really. One of the things we just die inside, for a while, anyway.
Well, let's hope the rest of the year goes better for you and you can get your Formula One victories. Back to you, Keith.
Again is Gordon Johncott, who does get the drop again as they go through there in that turn one. And look at this in the inside of turn one. A.J. Foyt trying to get around there. Trying to get around Robert, but can he make it? I doubt it, brother. He'll let him through it. Look,
it's
the acceleration of A.J. Foyt's car.
Just jumped on it in that little bitty short straight in there between turns two and three. So A.J. Foyt jumped past Johnny Rutherford, and now he is chasing Gordon Johncott, running right behind. Of course, it's Rutherford, then Bobby Unser, and then Tom Steva, and then Wally Dollenbach, with McCluskey hanging right in there. And I should report that Bill Vukovic has moved up four or five paces, so he's up in among that top ten right now. But the man that is really flying, and he too seems to have great acceleration, it's going to be interesting, Jackie Stewart, to see whether or not once A.J. Foyt has Gordon Johncott clearly in his sights, whether he does have the kind of acceleration to blow him down.
It's a difficult place to pass in this very short one-mile racetrack. You've got to have a driver make an error of judgment in front of you before you can really get past them. But the power in A.J.'s car seems to be very flexible indeed. Gordon Johncott is an extremely fast starter, and he has opened quite a gap on A.J. Foyt, who's opened that gap on Johnny Rutherford. Bobby Unser is pushing Rutherford very hard at this time, and Steva is closing up on Bobby Unser. So it's a very tight little pack back there, and nobody can afford to make any mistake.
This is a rough racetrack. You get a lot of bouncing going into turn one. You get a lot of jousting coming out of two, and particularly coming out of turn number four, you take a pretty good wallop in the city of riches. And so far, Gordon Johncott continues to hold his edge as we have now completed 16 laps. As they come around this time, it'll be number 17. They, of course, will run 150 laps on the one-mile oval in order to accomplish the 150 miles for the race. And right now, I don't know whether Ford's content to just let him sit out there in front or whether he really wants to chase him. It looks to me like there's something rolling around. I think it was a soda pop can or something that somebody ran over and flattened it, but it did not cause anybody any trouble. So the race continues. We have had one car hit the wall. That was Bill Simpson. He is out of the race now, and Mario Andretti not able to get started, and Todd Gibson, number 22, moved into the field.
Racetrack very tiring on the motor cars, very difficult for the drivers altogether, because there's no area in the racetrack where the driver can get any relaxation at all. I'm not sure that A.J. Foyt's interest in challenging Gordon at this time. I think he's prepared to stay there as long as he doesn't drop too far behind. But it's definitely a bit of a rush there, and now Bobby Unser there drops back a little bit. It's a really close racing back there in the third, fourth, and fifth position.
It is Rutherford, Bobby Unser, and Tom Steva. Bobby, a couple of times, has started to go underneath Johnny Rutherford, and each time has not been able to do it. Steva now is the lighter colored car. Got more white on it, the lighter blue there. And those three have just closed up on each other and drop off. This time, however, there's a little bit more spread as they come into the turn. As Gordon Johncott continues to lead with Foyt second and Rutherford third, followed by Bobby Unser, and then Tom Steva, Wally Dollenbach. Then comes Roger McCluskey, then Al Unser, and then a gap back to Billy Vukovic. And then car number 24, Tom Bigelow. That light-colored car again with a white behind the driver. That is Tom Steva. He's tucked right in behind Bobby Unser.
Bobby Unser seems to be slower going into the corners. Look at Steva tighten up there. He really gets closer to Bobby Unser going into the corners. But Bobby Unser uses the track very sensibly. As they come out of turn four now, you can see he doesn't use all of the racetrack. Steva really can't find a way past him. Going to have to sit there for a little while and try and check out Bobby to make sure that he doesn't make a slight error of judgment. Look at him now. Closing right up. Look how close he is now. That's Unser and Rutherford, and he slipped past into third position, Bobby Unser.
That puts Steva in a tuck position right behind Rutherford. Bobby took a bit of a gamble there, and going inside, Steva goes outside, and Rutherford's in the pits. Johnny Rutherford ducking down in the pit road at full speed. speed almost, it seemed. Now he's got to burn the brakes and try to stop it, and he does. Locks it into position in pit number one. You just simply have to make two pit stops. You're not required to, but you almost have to in order to cause the fuel limitation. And they're looking now toward the engine cowling. If it comes up, it might be a problem. They'll let him run some more. So Johnny Rutherford, very much in the hunt for first place, hits the pit, drops off the base. Gordon Johncock is the leader right now of the Phoenix 150 at 22 laps. As we come back to Phoenix International Raceway, a car has blown an engine and is up on the wall. A big puff of smoke going onto the wall as A.J. Foyt moved at that particular moment, trying to pass Gordon Johncock.
Now, look, West, there's the car. He really locked it up. The driver is okay. He's taking his gloves off right now. Something went wrong with the car. He locked up his brakes. The brakes must have been locked up for about 150 yards at least. And he got the barrier fairly strong, but again, the grip of these tires, the big tires, really slowed him down. It could have been a head-on accident.
Look at it again. Now, you see that puff of smoke. It looks, for all intents and purposes, it could be an engine, but then you look at it again, Jackie, it just looks like tires.
It looks as if his tires are completely locked up as he goes in. Then he smokes the guardrail. Luckily, he didn't get the guardrail head-on there. It was a glancing blow because, of course, it was going round the corner. It wasn't a head-on. We're going to try and see this from another angle. Look at that. He locks up. He locks up the brakes. The front brakes seem to lock up, first of all, and then he went right up to the top. He's only lucky that he had that amount of grip, and he got out of the car that lucky.
All right. That means that we'll probably get a siege of pit stops now as Wally Dahlenbach comes in. And here comes everybody into the pit. We have completed 28 laps of this 150-lap race. Al LaCosto walking disconsolately back toward his pit where he'll sit down and watch the race for the rest of the afternoon.
That could have been a very serious accident, Keith, because many of the other drivers immediately behind him could have been very much involved in that shunt.
All right, let's join Chris Economaki on pit row.
Here's Al LaCosto walking home, Al. Guy, that was a scare. What happened?
Well, we had trouble on about 5 or 10 laps before that. The throttle starts sticking. I'm pulling, I told on, they sprayed some stuff on it. I went back out again. I come back in again. It's sticking again. And this time I come down the front straightaway and let off past the warning marker. It just kept right on going, so I hit the brakes and killed the engine.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
How's the car?
It wasn't bad. Just touched. Didn't even hurt anything.
Better luck next time. Al LaCosto, after a scary ride. Back to you, Keith.
All right, Chris.
Well, now, I've had this situation happen myself, and what happens is when the throttle sticks open, we did see it in our slow motion action there. You lock the front wheels, the rear wheels are still driving because the throttle stuck wide open. I had it happen in 1970. I went straight into a bank. It's a scary situation.
Hollenbach is fourth. Al Unser is running five, and running in the number sixth position, it's Mike Mosley. Now, Pancho Carter has gone out of the race. Bill Simpson, you saw go out earlier. Al LaCosto, you saw go out. And Bill Vukovich is now out of the race. A.J. Foyt is the leader. The pace is furious. Now, let's return to Silver Springs, Florida. Al Michaels. Well, the pace continues furious here in Phoenix, Arizona, on a beautiful sunny afternoon with a temperature in the mid-70s. A gusty wind is blowing across the Phoenix International Raceway as A.J. Foyt continues to lead, but he is getting a challenge now from Bobby Unser, and Bobby Unser's getting a challenge right now from Wally Dahlenbach, and Al Unser is closed right in behind him as the field begins to jam up here, and the leaders work their way through traffic. Johnny Rutherford remains on the same lap as the leaders, but he is running right in front of A.J. Foyt. As long as he stays in front of A.J., then he'll remain on the same lap. But right now, I think Gordon Johncock might have the fastest automobile on the racetrack, Jackie Stewart, because he has come from about the number nine position and sitting in their sixth right now.
He's certainly been catching up the field, Keith. He's been coming through traffic very well. He hasn't been bothered by having to stay behind another car. Whereas the leaders up there, you see A.J. Foyt there with Bobby Unser close behind, Wally Dahlenbach behind him. And in this short one-mile oval, it's very difficult to find a way past in traffic. And that's the biggest problem right now. You can see these cars trying to weave in and out there. And that's A.J. Foyt got through there. But, of course, in the meantime, while A.J. was getting through that traffic, Rutherford has taken a lot of space. And Rutherford is really looking for a yellow flag of some kind so that he can be allowed to close up on these cars, because he's just ahead of A.J. Foyt and therefore wants to be kept from being unlapped. But it is very tight. There is Johnny Rutherford out there. You remember, he's almost a lap down on A.J. Foyt, the Indy winner, the man who
qualified fastest here. We got pole position to car number two there, Johnny Rutherford. AJ Foyt is behind him on the racetrack right now, but Rutherford is not leading the race. He's well back in the race, but he's trying to keep ahead of AJ, hoping that there will be a yellow flag. AJ is the car that you're just seeing there, the red car coming into your picture right now.
We have just completed 63 laps with the running order working this way. Foyt is your leader. Bobby Unser in second. Wally Dallenbach is third. Al Unser is fourth. Roger McCluskey is five. Gordon Johncock is sixth. Mike Mosley is seventh. And Tom Sneva is running in the number eight position. Run down really quickly the cars that are off the racetrack. Of course, Mario Andretti did not start in the race. Pancho Carter is out. Bill Simpson is out. Al LaCosto is out. Bill Vukovic is out. And Salt Walters' engine expired on him, and he had to leave the race.
And there you see, of course, A.J. Foyt running along there. He, of course, won the first IndyCar race this year, the 200-mile race at Ontario, California. He's the leader, the points leader right now, and the City Corp Cup, and of course this is the national championship this year. That's Bobby Unser behind him, who's of course trying to close up as tight as he can on AJ Foyt, but of course again in this traffic is awkward.
Sam Hernandez now climbing to 156 feet. Colombo has done it and survived it and done it beautifully. Now it is Hernandez to see what he can do at incredible height of 156 feet. He's ready to go. We'll go back to Silver Springs, Florida, and have a look at it. In the meantime, the pace continues. We have had some moments of absolute sheer drama in the Phoenix 150 so far. We have completed 66 laps. This is stop number two on the road to Indy, and AJ won the first one, the Ontario 200, over in California. Johnny Rutherford, remember, had made an early pit stop. There was some question as to why, and Tyler Alexander explains now to Chris Konopacki.
Tyler, Johnny's way back there. Why was he brought into the pit?
Well, Chris, there was a report to Frankie Delroy, the chief
inspector
or whatever, that said that there was something coming out of the car. Needless to say, there's no smoke or anything, and they black flagged him and brought him in, and the USAC inspector was here, had a look at the car. There's nothing to be seen. Now, maybe there is something coming out of it someplace in the racetrack. We think perhaps that the car was bottoming. The track's very rough, and perhaps it was bottoming, and there was some bits of fiberglass or something, you know, coming out from underneath. But when the car did stop for inspection, it was bone dry.
So. Tyler, what are you telling him on the radio, and is he going to be able to keep A.J. Foyt behind him?
Well, I'm not telling him anything on the radio, and he knows that he has to keep A.J. Foyt behind him. Well, it has to happen, Chris. If there's a yellow light or something, maybe we can catch back up. Right. We're back on the same lap, okay. But really three-quarters of a lap behind.
Right. Okay, thanks, Tyler. Back to you, Keith.
Mike Gelhausen in car number 19 has just had a spin over in turn number two, and that has brought on the yellow. I'm not sure if he tapped the wall. If it did, didn't hit it very hard. So he hit right in front. That Sneva right behind him. Now you see him lock up, go into his spin, and did a pretty good job of holding it out of there, didn't he?
Yeah, he's kept it away from the wall, which is the main thing. I kept it away from that barrier. Spike Gelhausen had no trouble at all. Now this yellow flag is just what Johnny Rutherford was looking for, because there's your leader, A.J. Foyt. He's still out in the racetrack. He's still in the lead there with the pace car. But now this allows Johnny Rutherford to fill himself right in behind the rest of the field, getting himself into an attacking position, because he certainly was a long way behind A.J. Foyt as it was before.
This may not be a very long yellow. Among those that ducked into the pits in a big, big hurry were Gordon Johncock. He is now leaving the pits, as you can see. Mike Mosley is also ducked in a hurry, and now here comes A.J. He is in the pits. You see Johnny Rutherford in the pits. They're working furiously. He was able to close in on A.J. Foyt. Now they've got to get him out there in a hurry so he doesn't lose too much space to Foyt to stay in the same lap. Bobby Unser, meantime, has stepped out of his car. His car is being rolled behind the pit wall, so Bobby Unser is through for the day. There's Bobby standing right there. Something wrong with the car. He brought it in, didn't want to tear it up, and so consequently he's out. Helmet on and relaxing. So now we are through 78 laps. It is A.J. Foyt, Wally Dallenbach, Gordon Johncock, Danny Hongayas, and Roger McCluskey. That is your running order. Cliff Usel driving something dragging behind his car, and it is in fact something dragging behind it. I don't know if it's debris or it looked like it might have been something behind it. He'll be black flagged and told to get out of there. Cliff Usel, a youngster from Canada, way he comes by here, we can determine if there's something in the back of it.
Yeah, it's an airline. It's one of the airlines, I think, that he's got collected. He must have driven over it. The other driver beside him there, Gary Bettenhausen, is pointing down, telling him that there is something there. He will, of course, be black flagged. He has had the flag. He'll be coming in to have that released, and, of course, they'll go back out. Gary Bettenhausen passing him in the meantime. He'll have to come into the pit.
All right, while we're waiting for Usel to come into the pits to have the line pulled away, there is Tom Sneva's car, and he's in trouble. Here's Chris Konamaki.
Well, down here in the pits, Johnny Rutherford made that pit stop, but they're wondering whether or not he has enough fuel to go the distance. It's very marginal. He may have to make another pit stop before it's all over. And here's Tom Sneva to try and find out what was the trouble with Tom, Roger.
Well, we had a, looks like we split an oil cooler, and USAC official told us to pull the car out of the race.
Okay, Roger Penske, the owner of Tom Sneva's car, both of his cars are out of the competition. Mario's never did get started. And the airline on Cliff Usel's car is the Airjack line. That car was formerly Johnny Rutherford's car. Back to you, Keith.
All right, Chris. Well, we've had some unusual things happening. Your running order is A.J. Foyt up in front. A.J. Foyt, car number 14, continues to lead with Wally Dahlen back behind him. George McNulty's cars now are running second and third, with Al Unser running four and Johnny Rutherford now up in a relatively comfortable number five position. We're anticipating green this time. Pace car comes down off the track. Front of the pack goes by. It's A.J. Foyt, the leader, and then those two brilliant orange-red cars prepared by George McNulty, driven by Wally Dahlenbeck and Gordon Johncock. This is Gordon Johncock's home track. He lives in the Phoenix area. He'd love to win this. He won a big one here last November, one that locked up the 1976 USAC Championship for him as Johnny Rutherford's car expired. A moment of frustration for Johnny. Right now, it's the three red ones that you want to keep in mind. Foyt running right in front of the yellow car there, and then the two red ones behind him. They are running second and third. Again, very briefly, those that are out of it. Andretti didn't start. Simpson is gone. Carter is gone. McQuesto is out. Milutinovic is out. Salt Walter is out. Mike Yellhausen is out. And Bobby Unser is out. Rick Winters now at Silver Springs, Florida. We'll be seeing him take his flight down there in just a little while. So he's ready to take the plunge from 156 feet. Now here comes the leadership as they move past Todd Gibson, who was the alternate starter. He got into the race in car number 22 when Andretti was not able to answer the call. So you've got a pair of teammates there in the bright red cars, and it's just wheel to wheel, and now it is Johncock and Dahlenbeck sorting themselves out to work through traffic and get down into the hard pursuit of A.J. Foyt. Remember, this is a one-groove racetrack, only 1 mile of length, and it's very hard racetrack to drive. Beat you up. Beat your car up, too. All right, Frank, thank you. Gordon Johncock coming into the pits. Now, what has happened, you won't believe, I'll tell you. Gordon Johncock and Johnny Rutherford get into a joust for third place. They tap tires on turn four, going around to turn two. They're apparently bumped again as Johnny Rutherford, for better than two laps, had tried to get past Johncock, was unable to do it. It wound up right here. Now watch, as the red car is Johncock, and you can probably tell here in slow motion much better than we can as to whether or not they actually touch.
Well, the point is that Rutherford is the outside of the corner here. He had been trying to get past Gordon Johncock several times. Gordon Johncock closed the gate. He must have just tapped at that time the front wheels of Rutherford's car. It got him unstable. Rutherford goes up through the inside. He's on the marbles now, Gordon Johncock. He's spinning down the racetrack. He's probably brushing the guardrail as he goes down there with his outside wheel, and he came to a stop. Then he waited. While he got out the race car, he waited for Rutherford to come round and look at him, shaking his fist at Johnny Rutherford. He obviously felt that it was Johnny Rutherford's fault. From our distance here, it was difficult to say. All I can say is it's the most remarkable bit of motor racing that I've seen in USAC racing ever. I've never viewed such close racing before, and this is him going back out to the racetrack to get into the action again.
All right, we're anticipating green as Johncock gets back on the racetrack. The wrecker went over there, got him started, got him around. There's the green, and everybody pretty much has been in the pits. We'll have to sort them out as we work our way around the racetrack. It'll be Wally Dahlenbeck in the lead with Johnny Rutherford second, A.J. Foyt running third, and you can see that from here on in, it's going to be temper
And not only that, but Johnny Rutherford is going to be one of the first cars to come up and try to get past Gordon Johncock. So it's going to be interesting to see how these two men behave on this racetrack under those circumstances, where Penrose must still be high, particularly in the cockpit of Gordon Johncock's car.
Well, I don't know. I don't put a whole lot of stock in the teammate business, but I guess you can never tell, can you? Until the circumstance presents itself. But Dahlenbach now in car number 14, the red 40, is really is way, way out there, with A.J. Foyt right now being listed in car number 14 and running second, with Al Unser third and Johnny Rutherford fourth. But we get a recounting and a resettling of the lap situation. Now they're going to put Johnny Rutherford, the USAC scoring, put Johnny Rutherford in first place. Dahlenbach in second place, Foyt third, Al Unser four, and Mike Mosley would be five. And so they've had a full canvas of the USAC scorers, and that's the way they have them running right now.
And this is what you see. The number two car there coming into your screen right now is Johnny Rutherford, the car leader. The car just going out of your screen there, that's been separated by another vehicle at the meantime, is Gordon Johncock, who of course is several laps down. But that is Johnny Rutherford, the leader of your car, the leader of the race, the Indy winner, and a man who's going to come up very shortly to try to get another lap on Gordon Johncock, the man who he tangled with just a few laps ago and, of course, brought out that yellow flag. And this is him trying to get up there right now. It'll be interesting to see how these two drivers behave. Maturity is a difficult thing to control when emotions are high.
All right, let's again set the running order for you. Now, after the canvas of the USAC scorers, and every car has a scorer, it is Johnny Rutherford leading, Wally Dahlenbach is second, and A.J. Foyt is third, Al Unser is four, and Mike Mosley is five. Those are your top five runners right now. Gordon Johncock, having gone into the dirt on the back straight, is out on the racetrack, and Johnny Rutherford now is right behind him. Right behind him. It'll be a very interesting and dramatic moment if Johnny Rutherford chooses to try to put Gordon Johncock another lap down, and he's closing right in behind him. We have completed 105 laps. This will be 106. And Rutherford now is right beside Johncock.
He's trying to go through the inside. He's trying to find a place. He got his inside wheel there on a bit of dirt. That's where that squiggle came when the car got loose there. He just got into one of the cuts in this racetrack. It's not a particularly smooth racetrack, so therefore when you go too low on the racetrack, these tires, which have been no tread at all, sometimes they get hooked into this broken up car macadam, this hard surface here, and that's exactly what happened to the number two car. Now he's trying to make a pass, trying to come up into a position to pass.
Now they are beginning to close in on traffic as well. Chris, what do you got?
Well, we have the right rear tire up of Johncock's car. The rim is all bent around. So there was definitely contact made between those two cars. And that leads to the question, what about the wheels on Johnny Rutherford's car? Are they damaged too? He has to stop. Back to you.
It doesn't appear that they're damaged because he's flying.
Well, it could be, of course, the damage of the wheel of Gordon Johncock could have been on the guardrail. One never really knows. And look at this right now in traffic. There is Gordon Johncock still stubbornly staying in position here, still trying to keep ahead of Johnny Rutherford. Johnny Rutherford now is going higher on the racetrack, trying every part of that racetrack. Now he's down low. Now he's trying to get inside there. Can he get the acceleration of this Cosworth engine that he's using? The McLaren cars, the one of the new V8, the British-built Cosworth engine in the car. And of course, the Aussie engine is in the George Bignotti-built car. George Bignotti, the team manager of the red car. And look at Rutherford trying to find a place in the racetrack to pass. There's little doubt in my mind that you're watching two of the fastest drivers in American racing right now and two of the fastest cars in this racetrack going head-to-head, although there's a big lot of difference in their position as far as the field is concerned.
Yeah, Gordon Johncock is at least three, if not four laps down. Johnny Rutherford is the leader, with Johncock's teammate, Wally Dahlenbach, running in second place, and A.J. Foyt now third, with Al Unser following Roger McCluskey and then Mike Mosley. The wind continues to be whipping, quite gustily whipping around the racetrack. So far, appears to have had no particular impact on the race itself. It's only 1 mile in distance. We're completing 109 laps now, and your leader is Johnny Rutherford. Team's coming out of the back of it. It looked like he and Al Unser had a tangle over there in turn number three. Dahlenbach was in the spin, or turn number two it was. And now you see here in slow motion the blue tire spoke.
That car was involved, as was Al Unser involved here. You see them both spinning, sort of pirouetting, as the red car really does catch fire. The others just missed each other. Al Unser was very lucky not to, to hit into Wally Dollenbach's car. The cars are almost parallel to each other there. Still smoke coming out of Wally Dollenbach's car, the car number 40 there. The man with the fire extinguisher right on the scene. Remember, these are alcohol. Now he's got the car started again. He got a tow. He got the car started by letting out the clutch, and he's by on the racetrack again. He's going to come into the pits, and I'm sure he'll have to have the flat taken off.
In the meantime, the duel between Gordon Johncock and Johnny Rutherford has decided, because Rutherford passed him again and is the leader right now. Back live at the Phoenix International Raceway, current standings, Johnny Rutherford, A.J. Boyd, the two front cars, the only two in the same lap. Roger McCluskey a lap down, followed by Mike Mosley and Tom Bigelow. USAC is now canvassing all of its scorers, and we'll get a complete rundown on it probably by the time we get to lap 130. We have now completed 127 laps. We're now working 128. Right now, let's get a report from Chris Economaki.
I'm down at Wally Dallenbach's pit. Stopped a few moments ago. They looked the car over and pronounced it okay. Gave what fuel he had left and sent it back on the track. Now he's got a boost control. He's way back, but he can turn that boost way up now and get some speed. And down at the other end of the pit, Johnny Rutherford's pit. They're really upset about the goings-on between Rutherford and Johncock. Tyler Alexander is not sure whether or not Rutherford will have enough fuel to go the distance. Back to you.
But I assume then, Chris, that they're going to gamble and try to go the rest of the way without... Now, obviously, if we don't have any yellows, they'll have no chance. So are they definitely committed to a gamble?
Well, quite from Chris Economaki, he doesn't want to gamble in anything, obviously. And there's A.J. Boyd out in the racetrack. He's the only man on the same lap with the leader, Johnny Rutherford. Rutherford has driven a very calculated race the whole time. He's been really in the back there. And that's been a difficult thing. There's a good pass by Johnny Rutherford there, getting past Wally Dollenbach. On the outside, that car seems to handle it almost any part of the racetrack, because we've seen some of these other antics trying to get past Wally Dollenbach and Gordon Johncock. Wally Dollenbach seems amazed. It's just been incredible how that Rutherford car handles. We've had tremendous racing here today. I can't stress high enough that it's been more competitive. I've never seen such close racing in USAC before. It's been safe racing. There's been an awful lot of action here today, a lot of spin out, some contact with the barriers. But nobody's been injured, and that has a great deal for the safety here, because, by gosh, it's been busy.
Indeed it has, and A.J. Foyt now is in second place. He doesn't really have Johnny Rutherford in sight as yet, and his fuel circumstance, of course, there's no way for us to know what it might be because of the series of pit stops that have been made, but you know that A.J. has that booster control in there as well, so as we now have completed 132 laps, headed for 150, somewhere along the way, we're going to find out if A.J. has enough fuel to be confident about it. They do not have a fuel gauge on it because each one of the fuel tanks is made up of little sections, and it'd be very hard to know exactly how much is there. But we do know two cars running the same lap at lap 132. Johnny Rutherford continues to fly into the lead. A.J. Foyt running in second place really does not have him in view. Roger McCluskey is third, Tom Bigelow four, Vern Schuppen five, and Danny Ongais running six with 13 laps to go. Gordon Johncock, who was involved in a joust earlier with Johnny Rutherford, is no longer a factor. There's your running order right now, and let's go down to Chris Economaki.
Well, Keith, here is Johnny Rutherford's fuel tank. He started here, down here now. There's about 7 or 8 gallons left in this tank. It's not in the car, it's here, and it should be in the car. Whether he'll make it or not is another question. We talked with Tyler Alexander a bit ago, and he said Johnny is boiling mad about Gordon Johncock's driving tactics and threat to inflict bodily harm when the race is over. Back to you, Keith.
We might have to run over to cover that bout. That's why we might line up with us for our championship series. Put him in the tournament. But I'll tell you this, I'll guarantee you there's some warm feelings, because Johncock expressed it very clearly when his car was sitting over there in the marble. So I'm sure there are two views in that particular joust as to which man was responsible for what ultimately happened. But right now, Johnny Rutherford is in a substantial lead over A.J. Foyt and is just flying. He's just driving wherever he wants to drive right now.
He's on any part of the racetrack he wants to be. That car's handling as well as any race car that he could ever sit in today. He's about half a lap ahead, in fact, of A.J. Foyt, and that's a good handy margin. Remember, of course, it's only a 1 mile racetrack, so it's not a great distance over
150 miles, but they're closing towards the end. The big thing, of course, can he be safe with a fuel situation? He must be sitting there on a bubble, feeling very uncomfortable at this time, knowing that he is low on fuel, because, of course, he's in radio contact with his team manager, Tyler Alexander, who we saw earlier in the show. But Johnny Rutherford had an early pit stop. That was a great disadvantage, and therefore he did drive very well all the way through this racetrack. This is where you see the true champion performing, coming from the back of the field, coming up, taking the lead, and then holding it.
So bitterly disappointed on this racetrack a year ago when his car expired on him, chopping away his chances to claim the championship car division title for 1976. A.J. Boyd won the initial race, the Ontario 200 in California. A.J. has run very strongly here today. He says he's going to take the old car, the reliable machine, back to Indianapolis for the 500 in his chase for number four this year. Not going to take new equipment. And the equipment he's running right here in Phoenix and the equipment he won with in California looks pretty good. Right now, Rutherford is the leader. We have a little less than four laps to go in the race. AJ is just simply going to sit back there and hope something happens somewhere out of the racetrack, giving him a chance to close.
Well, he doesn't need much fuel. These racing cars do about 1.7 miles per gallon or 1.8 miles per gallon. So it's a 1 mile oval, and they've only got about three laps to go. So Johnny Rutherford must now be sort of treading very gently. He doesn't need to go very fast because he's considerably ahead of AJ Foyt. He is more than half a lap ahead of AJ Foyt. And if he just treads that gas pedal ever so gently, I think you're going to see him win this race. If he does win it, I think he fully deserves it. By Jove, he's had a rough day, because his tangle with Gordon John Cox was in fact a very terrifying one. But one of the impressive things is where he can put that race car on the racetrack. All this day long, that McLaren has handled better than any other car.
All right, Jackie, now let's go to Chris.
Well, they're standing there with the fuel lines in their hand. One fellow has a man on the valve. They don't know. That's the story of the Rutherford pit. Back to you, Keith.
Okay, Chris. I tell you, that's a heck of a position to be in. There's the white flag. He doesn't need a whole lot much, a whole lot more now. Just a little whiff of vapor would be enough to get him on around.
Yeah, he can't be beaten now. Even if he forced it at this time, he's going so fast that the momentum would bring him through to win this motor race. So AJ Foyt, I'm afraid, is going to be satisfied. Of course, he'll still be leading the City Club Cup. AJ finished first in the Ontario race and now second in this one. But for this man here, it's going to be victory. He's got one more lap and he's crossed the finishing line. Johnny Rutherford, a very happy man.
And A.J. Foyt will come on around to finish second, and there's the McLaren crew. They are obviously delighted with what has happened for their man. Here comes the Texan, number 14, swinging it around, and he takes second place. So it is Rutherford, Foyt, McCluskey, 1-2-3 in the 1977 Phoenix 150, and there is Betty Rutherford on the right, closest to the camera, wife of Johnny, who keeps the record in the pit. She is, as Johnny puts it, a source of great strength to him in his career. There's the running order as the checkered flag flickered. Johnny Rutherford 1, A.J. Foyt 2, Roger McCluskey 3, Tom Bigelow 4, Danny Ungaius with a strong fifth place finish. That's a boost for that young man. Remember, however, that Wally Dahlenbach and Al Unser got into a tangle that cost them so dearly. At the time it happened, they were running fourth and fifth and in challenging position. But that little tangle over there in turn number two took them out of the competition, and it enabled Johnny Rutherford to come on around and win it all here at Phoenix on this sunny Sunday afternoon. Car number two coming down toward the start-finish line. That constitutes victory lane. Chris Economac is saying, please stop, John, because I'm standing in front of you. And he has now safely negotiated the stop, and the crew is joining him. There is Gordy Johncott just a few feet away, getting out of his car. Now let's go down to Johnny Rutherford and Chris Economaki.
Well, it's been a turnabout for Johnny Rutherford. Black flagged early in the race, down a lap, making up the lap, and engaging in a crazy set of driving jousts with Gordon Johncott, and finally coming home the winner. We're going to try and get a word with him as soon as he gets his helmet off. He's getting out. Well, John, he's waving to the crowd. John, congratulations. But what about the Johncock business?
Well, I tell you, I don't quite understand that. I was up beside Gordy over there in two and had a wheel clear up in between his, and he drove over me and got himself in all kind of trouble, and then he tried to run into me later over there. I couldn't understand that.
Well, how hot are you?
Well, I'm all right. I just hope he's all right. I certainly didn't mean to spin him out, and I was there, and I, you know, if I wasn't supposed to be, then I apologize. The racing's racing, and I was beside him.
Well, John, you came from a lap down. It was a great day for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Chris. I want to thank all the guys on the crew, McLaren, and, you know, it's been a great day that we worked hard. They've worked hard for this, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, and back to you, Keith.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. A.J. Ford is another man who appears to be angry. But right now, as Ford, he came over towards the Rutherford car. Now he has walked away from the car, and Gordon Johncock is walking along there with A.J. Foyt. So there are two very angry race drivers right there.
I don't know where they're going exactly. They're heading towards the McLaren pit and Tyler Alexander, I guess, but I really don't know what it's all about.
Well, Johnny Rutherford has won the race. Johnny Rutherford has won the race, and A.J. Foyt finished second. There's the running order. Gordon Johncock and A.J. Foyt expressing great anger. And it's been an exciting day here in Phoenix, Arizona, as Johnny Rutherford wins the Phoenix 150. Keith Jackson and Jackie Stewart, Chris Economaki. This has been a presentation of ABC Sports.
Action and adventure tonight at